Praise God. Thank you. What a wonderful song. What a wonderful job by the praise team this morning. Three Sundays left. This Sunday and two more. I'm blessed with the opportunity to preach with you, and so I'm looking at that as a very serious thing. Talked to Dave about some things that I wanted to preach before I left, and we're going to dive into those things this morning and continue with those things until the day that I leave. So when I went to seminary, they taught me how to preach expositorily. Do y'all know what that word means? Have you ever heard of the word expository preaching? So basically, it's dissecting the Bible verse from verse, word for word, and just going through the scriptures that way. And that's the way that I was taught to preach. And there's different ways that you can prepare and preach messages from God's word. There's topical. But today, we're going to look at one verse. But I want you to see how much is contained in this one verse, and we're going to continue in the same passage of Scripture for the next few weeks, just so I can give you some things that I think that you need as a church, some things that Dave needs as your pastor, and I'm just going to try to give you what God says in regarding all these things. So this morning, we're going to look at Titus chapter 1. Open up your book, your Bible, to Titus, one of the books of the Bible, Titus chapter 1. We are looking at one of the pastoral epistles that have been left for us, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. These are pastoral epistles. They were left for churches and also for pastors so that we can see exactly what a pastor is responsible for and what the church is responsible for in reference to the relationship that they have with one another. Titus chapter 1. Verse 5 in the Bible says this: "For this reason, I," who's speaking here? The Apostle Paul. "I, Paul, left you," who? Titus. The book of Titus, that's his name. Weird, I know. "For this reason, I left you," Titus, "in Crete, that you should," notice this, underline these three words, "set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you to do." And if you'll continue to look through verses 6 down on through verse 9, we see the qualifications of a bishop and or a pastor. We're going to look at those things a little bit later, not today. But this morning, I want to talk about God's plan for pastors, because I believe this with my entire heart. God has a plan for every single specific person who has surrendered their life to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that purpose is real, and he has that for every single one of his pastors, every single one of his men. Now, God has a definite, detailed plan for pastors and his churches, and I believe he expects us to follow after that plan. When we start trying to create our own plans or do things in our own way, we're going to find ourselves in a world of hurting. Amen? We're going to find ourselves experiencing problems. So I want to encourage you, church and pastor, to continue to look towards God's word in all that you do. So this morning, we are going to see that God definitely has a plan for pastors. He has a purpose for pastors. In the midst of those plans and purposes, there are problems that sometimes arise in the midst of him trying to do what God has called him to do. But the last thing that we're going to look at this morning is that it can all work if we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? And so the first thing I want to look at this morning is God's plan for pastors. Notice again the term or the terminology of Scripture. Paul told Titus what? "For this reason," or "for this purpose, I left you in Crete." Clearly, it was God's plan for Titus to go to the island of Crete. I don't know if Titus liked the idea of having to go where God had called him to go, but nevertheless, we see that it was God's plan for this man to go to a specific place for the purpose of ministering to people. Titus might have been excited about this. He might have been cursing God, like, "Why in the world are you calling me to go to this place? I wanted to go over there." We don't know what happened in the life of Titus. He might have not liked it. He might have loved it. Nevertheless, we see that Titus is what? Obedient in going where God had called him to go and in doing the things that God had called him to do. And one thing is certain, and that is Titus went to Crete because God wanted him to go to Crete, and he was obedient in following the directions of God. Now, what happened to Paul? Remember what happened to Paul? He used to be Saul. He was converted. He was an attacker of Christianity, a killer of Christians, and God changed him into a preacher of the gospel. What happened to Paul still happens today to men of God who surrendered their lives to the gospel of Jesus Christ. For example, it is God's specific will I should say it was God's specific will for me to come up here in 2008. My wife and I tried to get around it. We tried to excuse the feeling that we had about coming up here and planting a Bible-teaching church. But nonetheless, God called me to come up here in 2008. And there was nothing I could do to prevent that. There was nothing that you could do to prevent that because God orchestrated all that stuff. And so, you know, just like he had a plan for Paul, just like he had a plan for Titus, he had a plan for me. And that plan was specific. And God worked that out. Not me, not you. We had our part by following God and all that. But he is the one who orchestrated that. It was God who ordained it. And listen to me, church. It is it's God who accomplished it. And it is God who will continue it. Whether I'm here, whether Dave's here, it don't matter because God is in control. He is in charge. Now I want to talk about where we came from. In 2007, we started a process of called deputation, which means my wife and I and my daughter at the time spent every weekend, every week, traveling to church, to church, to church to present the work that God had laid on our heart up here in New Jersey. And when we first got up here, we came up with about five people. There were five people that made up this church. The building was dilapidated. The property was not taken care of. There was lots of work that needed to be done. And so through all that, guess what we were presented with? Something called change. Change, in reference to a church plant, happens all the time. We can have one group here one week and a totally different group here the next week. And so what we have to understand is as we are trying to be the church that God has called us to be, we are going to have to deal with things called change. And how we embrace change is crucial. Now, we can change methodology and the methods for reaching people, which we should, but we can never change the message of Jesus Christ. And so our foundation as a church plant doesn't change because we are built on the rock of God's Son, Jesus Christ. But church plants have to constantly adjust to the people that are leaving, to the people that are coming in. And listen, God has the pastor here for a specific reason as that all is transpiring. So, you know, sadly, my time and my season here for leading this church is over. God is finished with me, and that's God who did it. And so, you know, it's time for Dave to step up and to be who God has called him to be. And let me just say this before you start thinking that I came to Dave and I tried to twist. Did I twist your arm? Did I try to tell you you had to surrender to preach or you're going to go? You know, I didn't force feed him anything. God worked in his life. God called the man to preach. God called the man to ministry, and I simply supported it. So it wasn't something that I did. It wasn't something even that Dave did. Dave's just being obedient to the calling that God has given him. So we have to understand that this is God who's in control of all this, right? And if God's in control, we can trust that God is able. And so, you know, God is doing here with people, you know, what he pleases to do with people. He is building the church. People who invest their time in spirit and in truth and in trying to build the church that God has called them to build, and people who want to see the glory of God made manifest all around them, that's the people that God is looking for to build the church of Grace Church right here in South Jersey. People who are empowered by, what, number one, his holy word, the Bible, and also his Holy Ghost, his Holy Spirit. Just like God had a place for Titus on the island of Crete, God had a place for me. He had a time for me here in New Jersey, and now he has a time for Dave to go and lead the way for what God has for you. What is our purpose? What is our, why do we exist? Here's one of the things that I kind of came up with, and I think that it's a biblical thing. The purpose statement for Grace Church as of right now is simply this: to reach people with a life-changing message of Jesus and connecting them with other believers. Getting them into the church, surrounding them with other believers. Why? So that they can grow through discipleship and discover who they are in Christ, thus honoring God with their life. So God had a plan for pastors, number one. Number two, God's purpose for pastors, for this cause, for this reason, for this purpose. These words are emphatic and mean that God had a definite purpose for Titus on the island of Crete. God never does anything, church, haphazardly. Never. He never does things by mistake. There's always purpose behind everything. The book of Ecclesiastes gives us proof of that. There is a purpose for everything under the sun, isn't there? The Bible teaches us that. And so God has a primary purpose for pastors. And we need to understand what that is if we're going to allow the man of God to be who God has called him to be. First and foremost, God's purpose for pastors is to preach the word according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Look at that verse. That's his primary purpose, is to preach the word. It's to get into the word of God, study the word of God, dissect the word of God, and communicate the word of God that he studied to the people that are following him as he follows God. And so pastors must be able to lead, but people have to be able to follow. He can't lead if y'all aren't following, amen? And so we both have our responsibilities. As God leads this man towards the purpose that he has for this church, the people of this church, in order for God to fulfill that purpose, need to walk in the same direction. Now, does this mean that Dave won't make mistakes? Well, no, he's a man, just like I am. And y'all know I make mistakes. I don't care, I'll tell you. I'm jacked up, and you know I'm jacked up. Some of y'all are happy I'm leaving. It's okay. No, I'm just kidding. But man, God has called him to do it, and God will use him to get the work done. Does this mean that, that if I follow along with the pastor, I'm going to get my way every time? No. It's not what that means. Or I'll follow along the pastor as long as he does what I say. Listen, he needs to do what God says. You know, does it mean that I'll follow him, you know, until things get uncomfortable? Well, I would surely hope not, because listen, things are always uncomfortable. And the moment we get comfort, we get complacent. And so we need to be pushed. I don't know about you, but I'm lazy in and amongst myself. I'm a sheep. I'm dumb. I don't do what I'm supposed to do. I need some. And so that's the purpose right there. And so if we're going to do things God's way and be the church that God has called us to be, we have to understand that we have to follow the man that God has placed here and trust God in the things that he does. In reference to churches following the lead of their pastor, it must be understood, if he's preaching the word and he is preaching truth, then you ought to be able to follow him. It's not always going to feel good. It's not supposed to, right? Don't think he's talking to you specifically. Don't think he's nitpicking at you. You know, it may be something that you might need to hear, but you might not want to hear. And God wants to use him to communicate his will to you. The word of God should agitate our flesh every time. Did you hear me? It ought to bother us. It ought to cause us to make ourselves feel shameful. It ought to feed the spirit of God that lives inside of us, but it ought to agitate our carnality and our flesh. And so it is the pastor who will answer to God. He will answer to God. He will give an account on what he did, what he didn't do. And so, you know, if he's doing his job biblically, then I just want to encourage y'all to follow him and support him and encourage him. God inspired the Apostle Peter to write this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, all the way through verse 4 about pastors. Listen to what the Word of God says. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, Jesus, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. If you'll do your part as he does his part, you will be rewarded. Do you see that? The pastor does the same thing with the church that God does for his children. As the pastor shepherds the church, the chief shepherd shepherds the pastor. And the church can see that if it's happening the way it should be. And the church can see that if it's happening in not the right way. So it is always, it's not about Dave getting his way or me getting my way or y'all getting your way. That's not what it's about. It's about both of us looking towards and following after what God has instructed us to do. Amen. And it's that simple. There is a big difference in a shepherd, and I've said this before, but I want to say it again, and a cowboy. A big difference in a shepherd and a cowboy. Too many cowboy pastors nowadays. Not enough shepherds. Shepherds watch over the flock. They look out for the flock's well-being, specifically the spiritual well-being of that flock. A shepherd leads his sheep quietly and consistently into the direction that the sheep need to go, towards the shepherd. And that is from a spiritual standpoint, towards God. Sometimes sheep don't naturally want to go the right way. That's just how sheep are. Sheep are the dumbest animals on the planet. I think God's trying to tell us something. He's referring to us as sheep. He's saying, look, man, you need... So look, you know, we're dumb. We don't do things that we're supposed to do, you know, in and amongst ourselves. And so we need help. And God has prepared it in a certain way so that it can work out for our good, for the pastor's good, and for the people's good. But there will be times that you will not feel comfortable about what the pastor's saying, preaching, encouraging you, leading you to do. And I want to say this one more time. If a pastor is leading the way that God has called them to lead, follow them as they follow God. Don't make them your God. I'm not saying that, because they are man. They are susceptible to sin just like anybody else. And the moment you place them on a pedestal, you're going to feel a rude awakening. The only person who gets placed on a pedestal is Jesus. So don't put too much emphasis on the man. And remember, everything is spiritual. I believe this. Everything is spiritual. Satan will rain down attack after attack after attack. If you are in the will of God and doing what he wants you to do, it's not going to be easy. Satan's going to do everything he can to deter you from the direction you're going. But remember, everything is spiritual, not physical. Satan sometimes tricks us into thinking that the battle is between ourselves. Well, the battle's between this bunch of people and the pastor, or the leadership in the congregation, or this person and that person. No, we're on the same team, friend. If you have been bought at a price, if you are saved and you've committed yourself to this thing called the church, we are on the same team. Satan is a liar, and he'll try to get us not to believe that, but we have to remember what Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And so we have to understand that the devil and all of his fallen angels want us to fail. They want us to give up. Knowing Satan will be relentless on the church ought to motivate you to follow God's plan all the more. Number three, a specific part of the pastor's responsibility is to set things in order. Now, what does that mean? Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should what? Set in order the things that are lacking. And also appoint elders in every city as I commanded you to do." Paul didn't write to the church on the island of Crete and tell them to solve their own problems. He didn't say that. Paul, by the authority of God, sent a man to take care of that job. It was the pastor's responsibility for dealing with the problems in the church. Paul, by the authority of God, sent a man to take care of the job, whose name was Titus. The command was what? To set things in order. Titus, the pastor, in regards to the people of Crete, the church of Crete, was to what? Set things in order. In reference to the things that were lacking. And this command is to all men that have answered the call to pastor churches today. Church, don't discount the man of God. God will use him to communicate his will for your life and for the life of this church. Listen to what he says, whoever your pastor is. Even if you don't agree with every one of his ideas, God has placed him in your life for a reason. Trust God as you trust him. Some people don't like hearing or talking about this phrase, set things in order, because it gets uncomfortable. Some people want to buy into the notion that there's nothing ever out of order in the church and that everything's perfect. That's a lie. Some people think that the church is this perfect entity where nothing ever goes wrong. Let me tell you something. The moment we think everything is completely in order in regards to the church, you'll have discovered something that no one has ever discovered, not even Jesus Christ himself, and you should write a book. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. In his earthly ministry, in the first church, there were problems. Why? Because churches are made up of people, and people aren't perfect, and people have problems. The bigger this church gets, guess what? The more problems you have the potential to face. Let me tell you something about church. There is always something that needs to be set in order. There's always something that we could do a little bit better, or a little bit better than we did the last time. And as sinners, we naturally want to when things get tough, what do we want to do? We run away. I do. When things get tough, I'm like, okay, I'm out. You know, let's run away. But that's not God's plan when things get tough. Notice that the pastor is supposed to what? Set things in order. The term set in order is very interesting. And I think we need to look at it here this morning from the Greek. It is a medical term diagnosed from the Greek language, and it's in reference to setting a broken or a dislocated bone back into place. Now, I don't know, I've never dislocated an arm. My daughter did, and she screamed bloody murder. She was in pain. And that same principle applies to the church. Pastors are to set things in order, to make sure things are what they need to be biblically and spiritually. God has placed pastors in churches to help to set things in order. It's not going to feel good all the time. It don't feel good when you have a broken arm or a dislocated member of your body. But to allow the church to be healthy, as it should be, by the guidelines of His holy word and His Holy Spirit, we see that the pastor's role is to set and keep things in order. So we see God's plan in regards to pastors and His churches, but the reality is that sometimes God's plan encounters problems. A lot of times a pastor will find his place and he'll find his purpose, but when it comes time to setting things in order, well, that's when the people don't want to hear what he has to say because, again, it's uncomfortable. Here's where we need to grow up, man up, woman up, and be who God has called us to be. There's a difference in a preacher and a pastor. I'll preach for free every day, all day long. It's exciting to me. I like studying. Pastoring, on the other hand, is hard. It's tough. Why? Because you deal with people. And I'm just being honest with you. Y'all know this. And so, you know, I'll preach all day long, but you're going to have to pay someone to pastor, okay? Because pastoring is tough. It's excruciating. It's draining. It's hard. You ever go to see the personal trainer at the gym? I go to the gym about 3 or 4 times a week, and I look at these people who pay personal trainers to get them into shape, and they're not real happy coming in the morning looking at that personal trainer. They know that they're about to go through some work. They're going to be sweating and putting in work and growing physically. The same thing applies to the office of pastor. His job is to coach you spiritually. He is your personal trainer when it comes to the Word of God. He is here to help you spiritually. Now, you might say, man, he's pushing me too hard. Remember what pushing ourselves does. It creates growth. It creates strength. When you work out, you rip the muscle apart, but it comes back stronger and bigger, and it grows. The same thing applies to the purpose of the pastors. Pastors should care about the spiritual well-being, not just caring about keeping you comfortable. Pastors should not have to strong-arm their ideas on the church, especially church when they're biblical. When the idea is biblical, I shouldn't have to force you to do something that God tells us to do. Dave shouldn't have to do that either. Amen? Amen. Last thing. Even though there's problems, and even though it runs into chaos sometimes, if we'll remember to do things the way that God has called us to do things, that we can finally see that this plan can work. It can work, and it is working in lots of churches all around this world today. For God's plan to work, we must allow God to be God. Amen? Nobody can take His spot, not even the preacher, not even the pastor. Let the pastor be the pastor. Dave's not me. I'm not Dave. You can't expect him to be me or me to be him. Amen? And we should just focus on what God has called us to do in the midst of all that, because God will speak to you through your pastor. He will speak to you through your church. God is our ultimate leader. His word is our ultimate authority. It must be understood that no pastor, no deacon, no committee, no church member is God. Amen? He is the authority. He is the final say. What He says goes. We all make mistakes. We all fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. So there will be times when things get tough. There will be times when we don't see eye to eye. There will be times where Satan will come in to try to distract you from the course that you're going on in order to not get you to where God wants you to go. And it's in these times that we must remember our responsibility as the pastor, as the church, as the leadership. We will all make mistakes, but praise be to God that God continues to use people that are broken through His grace and through His mercy. And we must make God, God, Jesus, Jesus, His word, and all these things are the head of the church. And we must follow the pastor as he follows God. Father God, Lord, I pray this morning that as we've looked at just one verse, all the instructions that you give us, God, I pray for the next few weeks as we look into some of the pastoral epistles that you would help Grace Church know what to expect from their pastor. I pray that you would give Dave the things that he needs to know what he can expect from the church. Lord, I pray that you would establish a relationship with these two like none other. The closeness, the camaraderie, Lord, I pray that you would connect things so strong that Satan would not have the ability to infiltrate what's going on here. We praise you for what you've done, and we know that it's all leading up to what you're going to continue to do. I pray for Dave. I pray for Grace Church. I pray that you'll continue to use them in a very powerful way, that you'll grow this church, not only numerically, but spiritually, and that you'll use this church in a very powerful way for this area that desperately, desperately, desperately needs you. Forgive us where we fall short. We thank you for your grace, and we word this prayer in your name. Amen.